word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus as we come before you on this program. I bring a challenge concerning the matter of true repentance. You know, the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us whenever we have gone beyond that which offends the Lord, and He lets us know when we have overstepped our boundaries, and sin is intrusion into an area where the Lord Himself has forbidden us to go. When we take up a matter unto ourselves, when we have a true sense of our own guilt and sinfulness, it's the Holy Spirit of God who is shining the light on us to let us know what our state is and how we are to get this matter fixed. And there is only one way to get a problem fixed, and then that is to go to the Lord. Job was one who had to repent. The psalmist of Psalm 119 talked about the matter of repenting, and the apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 also gave to us an account of what true repentance does. And in the gospel according to Matthew chapter 20, the account of a man having two sons. And one son said that he would go and he would do something, and he went not. The other son said he would not go, and he went and did it. And so you can see again the idea, the matter is set before us what true repentance is. So and then in 2 Corinthians 7:10, the Lord tells us, "Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of." When you have come into a right relationship with the Lord Jesus, you do not wish that you were not saved. You come to peace. You come to a place to where you fully accept the grace of God, and you understand that the Lord has worked in the life. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But sorrow of the world worketh death. And another clear example of how the sorrow of the world works death is that we can look at the life of Judas Iscariot. Judas, when he was made to feel bad about his sin, went and said the right things, that he had betrayed innocent blood, that he had sinned, and he said all the things he did. He took the money back, and he showed that he was sincere about his sin. But it still brought no relief for him. He was not sorry in the sense that he came to confess the Lord and to believe upon the Lord and to receive the forgiveness that God had. So he thought that being sorry about his sin was enough. You know, this is what you get when you hear people say, "Well, I said I was sorry." Well, that still is not the way that it's to be done. You go on and you ask, "Will you forgive me? I did wrong. I was wrong. Will you forgive me?" That's what you need to ask. And that's indeed what the Lord would have us to do. Recognize that we have offended Him, and that confess the fact, acknowledge the fact, as David did in Psalm 51. He acknowledged his sin. And when you acknowledge your sin, you're siding with God, you're labeling it as your own, putting your finger on it, blaming no one else, nor attempting to help anyone else help you to bear the guilt of that you are the one who's guilty. And when you do ask the Lord to forgive you and accept His forgiveness, then He does forgive, and you can have peace and the joy that comes with a clear heart, a clean heart. Our Heavenly Father, I ask again for the blessings of the Lord upon this program. Use this, I pray, to strengthen, to minister unto our hearts. And Lord, help us to do thy blessed will, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Here in the book of Genesis now, chapter 20, we have been again considering how that Abraham had wandered away from the Lord. He had wandered down into the place where he was put in a place where he chose to sin. He chose to use his own way to protect himself, and said that Sarah was his sister when she was, in all actuality, in essence, she was his wife. And this is, they had decided to say that. In verse 13 of Genesis 20, "And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, This is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me." Now, this was something that apparently he had done earlier. If you are linking his departure from the Ur of the Chaldees to this time, this is the second time he had done this. And perhaps there are other times. And looking at this verse would seem to make me believe that he had resorted to this before and used it. And perhaps it had worked before for him. It made him, it provided him with the protection he had needed, and he never, no one ever challenged him on it. And so at this point, he is challenged as he was earlier in Genesis 13. Now, this is what in Abimelech, verse 14 now, is going to bless this man by restoring him, his wife, Sarah. She's going to be brought back to him. "And it came to pass when he said, when God caused me to wander, this is what I did." Then in verse 14, Abimelech. Now, Abimelech was the one who had been endangered. Abimelech was the one whom Abraham feared. But Abraham did not know that God, the Lord, would have executed a death sentence upon Abimelech had he crossed over the line and not obeyed the Lord. The man Abimelech was limited in what he could do. The Lord had promised that Abraham was going to be the father of many nations, and there could be nothing short of this. And so in verse 14 of Genesis 20, "And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah, his wife." So in addition to restoring his wife, Abraham leaves with sheep and oxen and servants. And also, he tells him this. Notice in verse 15, "Behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee." There is one little word there that is a word that should make Abraham make the decision that he did. Abimelech says, "Behold, I have given thy," verse 15 rather, "Behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee." Now, as a nomad, as a wanderer, as one who grazed his sheep wherever he could find grazing fields for them, he is now told, "You can graze on my land." Now, guess what would have happened? As Abraham had indicated before, when it came time for the kings of Sodom, who wanted to give Abraham to reward him for what he had done. "No, I don't want that. Lest you say that you have made Abraham rich." And so he rejected the offer by the men of Sodom. Now Abimelech is saying, "My land is before you. Choose what you want. All of it is there." Didn't tell him to get off my property, you crook. He didn't say that. He didn't send him into another country. Just says, "Okay, I'm giving you servants. I'm giving you some cattle and some livestock. Now, in addition to that, you can stay on the land here. I'm giving you the whole offering, wherever it pleases you. You make the choice." And then he goes on and he turns unto Sarah and he said to her, "Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver." Now, he rebukes her also. This man had rebuked God's people. You know, that's the hurt. That really does hurt when the unsaved rebuke those of us who name the name of the Lord. When we do not behave as a Christian is to behave. And we have to go to them and let them know we were out of line, that what we did was not Christ-like, because the unsaved loves to see the Christian do things that are contrary to what they know the Lord God stands for. So Abimelech lets him know everything is here. Now, wherever you want to go, that's yours. Now, your sister here, but was she his sister? Of course not. He'd already established that fact, that she was not his sister, that she was simply his wife, really his wife. And I've given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver, and he has all of this that he is able to use. And she is saying, he is saying to her, he's using sarcasm. He's letting her know, this is what you said. And so it ought to have been a rebuke to her as well. And I'm sure it was, that she was there in line to become one of his wives. And now he is calling her Abraham's sister. That should have hurt even more. And then, as the Lord had promised, he said, and he shall pray for thee. Now, here is a man, again, who is told that Abraham is God's man, and that God's man has power with God. And so when Abimelech hears this, the Lord, as promised, Abraham prays unto God for Abimelech's wives. Abimelech wanted an offspring in his family, and there were no children being born to him. Verse 18 says the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And here again, the man, he needs to get an answer from heaven. So you can see some time had elapsed when the Lord permits before this, when this had happened. A certain amount of time had elapsed. So she is now reproved or convicted of her sin, having said what she said. And now the Lord is bringing a time upon him where he needs help. And he is in a strait of distress. Do you remember back up in verse 7 when the Lord said that he is going to pray for you? And he heals the wives. The Lord had caused something to happen there. You see, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. He makes that man who has those enemies have peace from those who are at odds with God's man. So, you know, we need to be more concerned about, are we pleasing the Lord, than are we gaining friends and making friends? When our ways are pleasing to the Lord, he's going to see to it that things go well. The Lord, and the scriptures tell us that the Lord was the one who had prevented this man from having children, his wives, from having children. Father, we thank thee that thou art our God, and there is nothing too hard for the God of all flesh to work. We pray that we will be sensitive to do the will of God and to know how well we are cared for by our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Join us again for another program. I'm Willie Thompson.